Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sukanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's our show. Right here on The Fan yet again. 4:02. Pretty on time.
Hey, look at us.
Pretty sweet.
Take that, boss.
Yeah, in your face. Whole hour on time.
Yeah, give it time. We'll screw this up.
In the news coming up at 4:30, we have a lot to catch you up on regarding COVID. But, Sunday, which was not yesterday.
No.
Weird that this is Tuesday. But it is. They had that big golf match on the Turner Networks.
Yes, they did. It was a little wet.
Did you guys see it? Yeah, it was raining.
I did. I caught some of it. I wanted to watch it, and then the rain started coming in, and so I kind of jumped around a little bit. But I caught a good hunk of it.
I didn't watch all of it, but recorded it.
Yeah.
And watched it later, and thoroughly enjoyed it. It was Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning against Tom Brady and Phil Mickelson.
Yes. Now, I will say that every one of these made-for-TV things that they've tried to wheel out up until this point, I think, have been horrific. The production has been bad. They've been boring. I thought the golf match with Ricky Fowler and Dustin Johnson and those bros, the TaylorMade guys, was horrifically boring. This, by far, was the best thing I've seen since sports went away.
And was it just the participants?
I think the participants, I think it was, it didn't seem clunky or bogged down, even though the rain obviously was, that was not ideal to see them. But yeah, I think there's an element of the guys participating understood that it was entertainment and they had good personalities. Even Tiger, who's not a great personality, got in on it and was having some subtle jabs. So I think it had star power. I think the production value was good. It wasn't clunky. I remember when they did the Titleist one, you know, they were doing like the Bill Murray interview with Mike Tirico and it was cutting out, and just those Zoom type interviews just are always so bad. I thought Barkley was able to talk pretty seamlessly with the participants. It worked from a production standpoint. It worked. And maybe that was just, they finally have figured out the kinks, good personalities, and it was entertaining golf.
Yeah. Well, it was a good match.
Yeah.
That helped. It came down to the last hole. Tiger and Peyton won by one shot. They were up big early because Tom Brady sucked rocks. And then, Phil said he was a little nervous at first.
Phil's great. Phil is made for this. I don't know if you saw any of his Twitter stuff from the parking lot. You know, he's such a good follow on Twitter, and he gets it. I think he's
a good personality.
I think he drives it, because when Phil's there and kind of making light of everything, I think everyone else picks up and feeds off of that.
Phil,
to me, is the key to making this all go. You need one guy, one alpha, believe it or not. And I don't think Tiger is the alpha, at least from a person.
Oh, I think he is. He's not vocal.
No, and that's what I'm saying.
But he's definitely the alpha on the course.
But no, that's not what I'm saying. When you're talking about a broadcast like this, you need one guy that's the alpha that drives everything. You need a guy that stirs up. And Phil, if you added Tiger and replaced Phil with, I don't know, just give me Jordan Spieth, I think that match suffers. Whereas if you replace Tiger with someone and you still had Phil, I still think it ends up being good. Phil was the guy that, to me, drove that broadcast.
Well, they're both a draw because Tiger's just Tiger.
Yeah.
And he didn't say as much. If you didn't watch it, he didn't talk as much. But when he did, he was pretty funny.
He had a good one where Brady hits the shot and he goes, that's going to be good on the fairway, number seven. As he sliced it, you know, to the complete other fairway. He had his little jabs.
His best line was Phil was marking his ball in a hazard. I think he was cleaning it off or something. I don't know what he was doing.
U.S. Open coins.
And Tiger goes to Phil. He goes, hey, you want to use one of my U.S. Open medals?
But it was great.
And Phil was like, wait, I don't have any. I got some silver ones. I don't have any gold ones. Do you have any of the gold ones?
And that's great. Like I said, Phil can give it back. I feel like he just drove the personality of that.
Well, they're two different draws.
Yeah.
Phil, more outgoing, interesting to watch because I'm going to play a clip for you. It's about a minute of him talking about just one little chip shot.
Yeah.
If you like golf, listening to Phil talk through shots is truly amazing.
He's giving you a tutorial. He's giving you a lesson.
It's I'll play it here in a second, but it's the things that he thinks about that go through these guys' minds. That's what we like to hear. Tiger didn't do much of any of that. He just kind of shut up and strutted around and dude, that guy's put together.
Yeah.
Still, like, he's fit. He has Sunday red on. He had his evil Tiger Woods beard going.
I know. He had the...
he was intimidating.
Like when David Hasselhoff, Knight Rider, he grew the mustache and became Goliath.
But I thought they were both compelling because Tiger Woods is just compelling no matter what.
Sure.
But I think if you're doing a personality rankings, Peyton Manning's number one.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning's great.
See, I say Phil one, Peyton two, Brady, and then unfortunately Tiger.
But yeah. I'd flip the top two there. But Phil makes it great because it's golf. If it were football, obviously Peyton would just be clear and, I mean, head and shoulders above all of the guys.
And Barkley was a great addition to that because, you know, Chuck's just, that's one of the best personalities in sports.
Well, you had two things. You had a direct line. Not only were they all mic'd, and they were mic'd to where in the downtime, they could just start talking.
Yeah, it wasn't a delayed sort of thing. Like they could cut to someone.
They could be driving in their carts and Tiger could just start talking to the camera, which is cool because they weren't all that talkative, but they did do some of that, particularly Phil and Peyton. But then they also had a direct line to the commentators. So yeah. Charles Barkley could just talk directly to Brady or whomever.
And that's what I thought suffered with the Titleist match. TaylorMade. Was it TaylorMade. That to me is what made that suffer is the downtime in between holes and shots. I thought was just painful how long that took and how clunky. And this one didn't have that.
This one was good because oddly interesting watching them drive their golf carts.
Yeah.
They were all in really nice golf carts.
And you could bid on the carts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second. They raised a ton of money. I mean, yeah. It was a big deal yesterday, or Sunday. But they, in between shots, they would all get in their own cart. And I don't know, it was weird, but just watching them drive their carts was interesting to me.
Yeah. By the way, if I'm going golf cart power rankings, Tiger's was the nicest.
Clearly. That's his home course.
Yeah. That's his baby. I thought Peyton's
not going to be upstage.
Peyton's was pretty cool, though.
Yeah. They were all really nice.
Yeah.
So here's Phil. Okay. So Phil was paired with Tom Brady, and Phil was trying to drag him along. And to Brady's credit, he got it together on the back nine and hit some good shots. As a matter of fact, he dunked one. That was the best moment of the whole thing.
Yeah, because Barkley was giving him crap, and then Brady sunk one.
Brady sunk it and said, "Shut up, Chuck." And then as it was like 130, 140 yard shot or something.
Something like that.
And then as he goes and picks the ball out of the hole, he rips his Brady rips his pants right up the butt.
He bent over and whoops.
How about this? Well, anyway, here's Phil talking to he's just really talking to the camera about what he's thinking on just a little mundane chip shot that he was about to hit one point on Sunday.
What I'm looking at is I've got a bit of a tight lie because the grain is in, which means I don't want to go high. It's hard to slide the club under. So I want to go low, but the greens have been taking off. They're slick, you know, because of the water, the ball's skidding instead of stopping. So what I'm going to do is, because I want to go low, I'm going to land it short of the green, and you can see the color is dark. You can see that right here, the color is light, and right here, the color is dark. That means the grain's in. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, I would not want to land it into the grain because it would kill it, but with the water, it's skidding, mm-hmm. and it'll take some of the heat off of it, and I'm going to take a 60-degree wedge, play it back just a little bit, and they hit it into that grain and let the water kind of skid, and it'll take some of the heat off of it, and then it should just run out. I find that very attractive right there. Like, that's like kind of, that kind of does it for me.
He found it very attractive. He had golf tight golf pants.
You know, I was playing out at the par three at Colwood this weekend. It was the same sort of thing with me. And I was just talking through things, and I was reading the colors of the greens, and I wanted it to roll out. And very, very similar, my approach to the short game. Me and Phil,
I just think that stuff is so insightful.
I know.
To hear a golfer talk through that. Like, imagine, when's the last time you thought about one little shot like that?
Zero.
That much. It took him a minute to talk through everything he was thinking.
Exactly. And it's that stuff to me was so interesting, and it drove the match.
Yeah, Tiger didn't do much of that.
No.
But Phil likes to talk about that
which
stuff.
Which is why, even though Tiger's a bigger draw, Tiger could be cooking chicken and it would draw a million people. I just think that having a personality like Phil and Peyton Manning, they're kind of pushing the narrative. It made the downtime, it made it entertaining.
Well, it was the most watched golf event in cable TV history. How about that? 5.8 million viewers on average, which is better ratings than the Bulls documentary, Last Dance.
Yeah.
So, and it aired on all the Turner platforms. So, I mean, you know, it was a huge success. They raised $20 million. $20 million.
Yeah, for COVID charities.
For COVID relief, which is a little generic. I don't know who's in charge of that money or where that goes, but doesn't that kind of like, what does that mean?
I don't know.
What do they make masks? Somebody's car payment gets taken care of?
I'm just going to assume that that goes to the right places.
Where do you donate that? Like,
Anytime you donate your money, I think there's a little bit of like,
it's going to go to restaurant workers. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're just going to give it to restaurant workers. Don't worry about it.
Quit asking questions, all right? Just accept the fact that something good's happening.
Yeah, so they, $20 million. Pretty amazing. That was on all the Turner networks yesterday, Sunday.
And I hope they do more of this. I do think that having Phil and Tiger, obviously, you're not going to find two better golfers to kind of drive that. But there's so many good athletes or just personalities that you could have out there. My first one was get Michael out there. Well, all the Last Dance stuff and as much of a fiend Jordan is, because there was some fun side bets going on there. Put Jordan out on the course.
He'd be fun.
Get a cigar out there, and Jordan's laying money on everything. You know, it's Justin Timberlake is a big golfer and is playing some pro-ams. Tony Romo, Steph Curry. Bill Murray is
I'd like to see Nick Saban out there.
Does Saban play golf?
Yeah, he's a big golfer.
Oh, there you go. That's the only thing I'll say is the Brady's game was it was kind of rough.
Well, yeah. I mean, he and Peyton were about the same in terms of just the type of player, but Manning had a better day.
Yeah.
I will say though, those guys, you saw a little something. Just those are high level, obviously
competitors,
and not one of them ever mentioned anything about the rain.
No,
right? Like, it was pouring, and you all know what that's like when you play golf, and that it's miserable and it's horrible. And you could just see them all were like, they were into it.
Well, especially Tiger.
They didn't want to lose.
Tiger did he miss a fairway?
No, he was great.
Tiger Woods was locked in.
And so
it was weird to see Tiger in shorts, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I know. And they were the long cargo-like shorts?
Yeah, it was a little weird. And he's got like the skinny legs, like kind of the big upper body. But hey, whatever, man. Like you said, Tiger Woods can do anything, and it doesn't matter because it's Tiger Woods.
Better than Tom Brady's replacement pants.
Yeah, he ended up going on the big oversized ones.
Yeah, Tiger was really into it.
Yeah.
He was not.
He was dialed.
He wasn't messing around.
Well, I'd like to believe that.
I love that.
If you're Tiger Woods and you're playing in that, there's got to be a part of you that's like, I'm not losing this. F you.
That's exactly right.
I'm effing Tiger Woods, which is why I want Jordan out there, because Michael would have the same sort of, even though he's not a pro golfer, and you know he would be out there trying to talk S to a guy like Tiger Woods, and I want to see that. And he would do it with a cigar in his mouth the entire time.
Two other minor things. What did we do before Shot Tracer? I mean, you don't watch as much golf as I do, but holy crap, we didn't used to have Shot Tracer.
No.
Where it shows where the ball goes.
It's fantastic.
How the hell did we live without that?
I don't know.
Where they would just say, where's the ball?
Exactly. They would just they would hit the tee shot, and then you would have to wait for Gary McCord to tell you what happened.
Yeah.
Now you can see
shot
it.
Trace. You can see the shape.
And by the way, it was kind of
the cameramen were pretty good at following the ball in the air, though.
But before still, shot it's
they always
to
have
see.
Been, but. Still, Shot Tracer makes it way cooler.
Plus, when you got like the Tom Brady's of the world that are, you know, playing two fairways over, it's always fun to see the shot just start out straight and then make an immediate right-hand turn and go to Albuquerque.
I also thought it was funny. Like, I'm a bad swing doctor.
Yeah.
You know, as an avid golfer. So I watched like Manning a couple times hit a shot, and I'm like, oh, that looked like a pretty good swing, and you couldn't see where the ball went, and then he ends up like in the crap. And you're like, oh, it was a snap hook, 200 yards, terrible shot. But, oh, the swing looked good.
I got to admit, like, if you're Tom Brady and you're Peyton Manning, obviously you're comfortable in whatever, right? You've played in some big environments. Don't you think there's a little bit of a pucker factor on national TV playing alongside Phil and Tiger Woods?
Manning said that at the end. He said, look, all I'm trying to do is not look like a jackass.
Right?
I've got Tiger Woods and freaking – and Brady even said that, too. Brady said – he said, hey, this would be a different story if we were playing football, but we're not playing football. We're in their domain, and it is really nerve-wracking.
I can't believe that anyone in that situation playing alongside those two guys would not have a little bit of a first tee jitter. Like, we've talked about this. If you've ever, like, if you're just a schmuck out there banging around, or you're actually a good golfer, you're like a three or whatever. Do you, when you're playing like in a pro-am tournament, or you're playing in something like that, and you actually have a gallery that's lined up on the first fairway, is that not the most horrifying feeling in the world?
Absolutely.
And you're just like, God, I don't want to take someone out. And you're like, just don't.
Absolutely.
You know, don't turf this thing.
It changes everything.
Yes. And now you're Tiger, you're Brady, you're used to all this, but that, I don't believe that any of that stuff makes it any easier. To line up in that situation.
Those guys were nervous. They were nervous as hell.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Phil Mickelson said he was nervous. He said he had the jitters in the first five holes. They were down three. And he got it together. He knows a lot of people are watching that.
I love that he's like, I'm gonna step on the gas here with my cat. He's like, he's always talking about his legs. Yeah. And that was fun.
Feels great. All right. Well, anyway, there was one little harebrained idea that came out of that some people were bantying about on social media, which we'll get to next. See if you like it. 418 on the Fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Fan text line 55305. We're talking about the Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning match, whatever they called it. Somebody said, yeah, wait till they start using drones to trace the ball.
Ooh.
It's awesome. That's from Joe.
That could be fun.
Great. Also, Justin Thomas deserves a mention. He was out there as the on-course roving reporter.
Calling Chuck a fat ass.
He did. He called him a fat ass. He's like, Chuck, your fat ass can't. I forget what he said, but something like, your fat ass can't get out here or whatever. And Chuck was like, you're going to piss people off with that one there. Can't call me that's fat shaming. You can't call me a fat ass on national television.
Yes, you can.
Justin Thomas was fun. So Charles Barkley, on that tip, yo. It was being bantied about on social media during the match. I saw a little thread where people were debating, what about this idea? Like, Charles Barkley added to that event, and he likes golf, but he's not a good golfer. As a matter of fact, at the end of it, I don't know if you saw, but they had a pre-recorded bit where he has to try to make bogey on a hole.
Yeah.
And his golf swing looks better.
Well, he did a whole thing on the Golf Channel. It was a Butch Harmon or Hank Haney.
It was Haney.
Haney, he tried to fix Barkley's golf swing, and it...
And he didn't really have success.
No.
But Barkley's swing looks better. He doesn't have that hitch anymore, but he's not any good. And he made a double bogey. He had a small putt, a short putt. Justin Thomas is standing over him talking trash, and he missed it. But anyway, what about the idea of Charles Barkley on Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole, like, Dennis Miller thing. I don't know.
I mean, it's already a mess.
Yeah.
Although, I don't even know who's in there. Do they have a Monday Night Football?
Well, it's not Booger anymore.
Announcing crew,
it's not Tessitore. I thought they did. I thought they came up with someone whose name escapes me right now. I thought we discussed this.
Well, I think there were... No, that's what... They just said that...
That they're not going to be
back. Those guys weren't coming back. But they didn't announce who the crew was going to be. I think Kurt Warner and... Greasy and those guys are all up for it.
But it's not going to be Tessitore. It's not going to be Booger. Booger, by the way, came out and he was talking today and was like, hey,
what
just
did he say?
Well, he just said that anyone that's getting ready to do this, he goes, be prepared because the critics are horrific. Because unless you're Tony Romo, when you start off doing this, people are going to beat you up. It sounded like Booger was, he wasn't having like sour grapes, but I think he feels that some of the criticism is probably unfair.
Oh, do you think it was? I mean, I Booger McFarland was not good.
No, he was not. But at the same time, I think his point is it's a really hard job and you don't really get any chance to kind of work your way in and that people just come out of the woodwork to hate you.
I mean, we gave Booger a couple of seasons. They kicked him out after five games.
He only had 1 year where it was just him and Tessitore.
This is why you've got to be able to some extent be able to tune that stuff out, because like most people are rational, reasonable people, and if they like football, they're like you and I. Like you and I, well, I think we're all on the same page here. We're all three guys who like football. We watch Monday Night Football every week. We tune into Monday Night Football, and none of us think Booger McFarland's any good.
No.
But at the same time, none of us are ever going to send a text or a tweet or a Facebook message at him calling him names and saying how much he sucks, right? Like those people that do that, the trolls and whatnot, at some point, you know, you've really got to be able to some extent, tune that out.
And I think that's kind of what he was talking about today.
Everywhere. It doesn't matter how good. Tony Romo gets them too. Not as bad as Booger McFarland. But.
Now, I did not see the interview, but I saw the quotes and it. And so maybe there was a different tone, but I felt like that's kind of what he was getting at there, is that his point was you better have some thick skin, because his point is unless you're Tony Romo,
that's true,
they are going to come after you. And that is, we talk about this anytime someone gets a job here at the Fan. I've told this to Mike. I've told it to Dirt and Sprague. I told it to Dusty. I remember when Travis started here, having this same conversation with him. When you first start out, just be careful reading the feedback, because you're right in that very few people take the time to send an email or a tweet or a text message being like, hey, this is new and I really enjoy your perspective. It's usually like, where are the old guys? F you. Everything you say, it's the worst take in the world. And I don't care how much you think of yourself, that stuff can get inside your head. And you got to be careful. I think that was kind of Booger's thing, as you could tell from what he said today that wore on him. It had to. He was universally hated football fan.
He got a lot of heat. And so did Witten.
Yeah.
And Witten just left. He's like, screw it. I'm going back to football.
I'm not doing this.
Yeah. All right, well, Booger's out, so I don't know who's in. But
you're right. They have not announced a crew. They're saying that all they have right now is they're saying that there's candidates like Steve Levy, Dan Orlovsky. There's a bunch of them that are potential.
What do you think of sliding Chucky Buckles in there?
I don't like that.
Please don't put Steve Levy in there.
Why?
He's done some of the college football like bowl games. Not great.
I just think
I don't know what was wrong with Tessitore.
I think the point is
it just because he was attached to Booger?
Yeah, I think they're just starting fresh. I think they're just like,
I saw a lot of people didn't like Tessitore either.
But again, that's.
I don't know why. I just.
Joe Buck is the number one, I don't know if he's the guy, but Joe Buck is one of the two or three top announcers in sports, right? Buck does everything.
Probably
does,
him and Nance.
Yeah, does World Series, does major Costas. Golf tournaments, and. People love to hate on Joe Buck. We love to kill him. And I think that was kind of goes along with the Booger thing, is Joe Buck is as successful as you can be in his field and still gets universally hated on. And, you know, you just kind of got to be able to roll with the punches. But no, I don't want Chuck in there. To me, there's a difference between having a charity golf tournament and raising some money and having Chuck in there. But to me, bringing Barkley in there, it's you're getting a sideshow sort of element. I even don't like Chuck when he does the college basketball tournament, because he doesn't watch it. Charles Barkley hasn't watched 1 second of the NCAA games leading up to the tournament. And so when he's on there with like Greg Anthony or Clark Kellogg or someone that Jay Billis or whoever, someone that actually follows the sport, I feel like it's a slap in the face to those guys that Barkley has no idea what he's talking about and he's just riffing. I don't like it.
Yeah, we take our football pretty seriously.
Yeah.
And they already tried the Dennis Miller thing. It didn't work. But Chuck is good for...
This sort of stuff?
It wouldn't be for his knowledge. It would just be... Chuck just being Chuck up there
very
with occasional,
Bill Walton-esque.
Yeah, with occasional observations could add some fun to Monday Night Football, but I don't think fun is where what they're looking for there.
Yeah.
They're looking for the next Tony Romo.
Yeah. You want someone that can be entertaining, but at the same time be knowledgeable about the game. And Chuck's not. That's
it's
not
very
that's not
serious.
Chuck.
Very, very serious. It's a very serious job.
Well, to like, an
man, you get a lot. It, Booger's right in one sense that they're. That's a big one in terms of scrutiny.
Yeah.
They're gonna rake you over the coals one way or the other. But
yeah, Monday Night Football, all eyes are upon you.
To me, like, hopefully he realizes the criticism. Again, you know, not name calling or just being a troll to get under somebody's skin, but just the criticism of his broadcasts, those are totally fair.
Yeah.
And hopefully he...
He's not good.
He got that feedback and and can, you know, resurface and if he wants to do it.
Well, he can be an analyst. I mean, he was a fine analyst and, you know, he can go back and do college stuff.
But I just don't like the guys who are like, well, yeah, it's just like they just blame. They just finger point.
Yeah.
Look, he got removed because he wasn't any good.
Yeah.
And yes, people probably piled on to him too much. No question. That's a problem. But again, some of that's on him to just tune that stuff out. And you got removed because you weren't any good at it. So admit that. Yeah. You know, I don't just blame it on people trolling you and just getting under your skin.
Yeah, it's a valid point, right? It's even though it's a valid point, I still feel for a guy in that position who gets a dream job, and whether it's deserved or not, the stuff for against Booger and Witten, I do feel for those guys because that. Some of that gets really, really personal, and I think that stuff's hard to tune
out. Think it's kind of on the network for putting them in there in the first place. They trial run these guys.
Yeah.
They know how it sounds.
It is fascinating that the Monday night crew was vetted, and they were like, yep.
This is what we want.
Jason Witten and Booger McFarlane and the weird Boogermobile, let's do this.
Yeah, and somebody texted and said Peyton Manning and Monday Night Football are match made in heaven. There is no question.
They have tried.
He turned it down many times.
He offered, won't do it.
What is Romo? Like 17, 18 million? Something
I thought
ridiculous
it was
like
20.
That. It's a ridiculous amount, and I guess they offered Peyton Manning more money than that, and Peyton still said no.
Peyton wants to be an owner, I guess, right?
Yeah, that's what
he
you
doesn't
hear.
Want to be a broadcaster.
Or now that Eli's gone, maybe there's another chance, you know, for him to come back. The thought was he didn't want to...
Oh, win another Super Bowl?
He didn't want to have to criticize Eli.
Oh. All right, well, there's a little hot... broadcasting talk coming up next. All the latest on local COVID, and there's a lot to update you on over the weekend. We'll get to that when we return. Here's Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it is 4:37 here on The Fan Sports Talk, hot sports talk. But you know what time it is?
Oh, I do.
May 26, 2020. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman. Today is World Redhead Day.
Oh.
So shout out to all you gingies.
Cam Cleland.
He is one.
I have a red beard. Does that count?
You're not a redhead, though.
No, I'm not.
You're not a ginger.
No, but I have a red beard, and I don't understand why my hair was one color and my beard was so very different.
My brother...
Yeah, he's a redhead.
He's a ginger.
Yeah.
Carrot Top, famous ginger.
Has no soul.
Who else is
famous redhead?
Yeah, famous redheads.
Oh, what do we got?
Most famous redhead.
Oh, Pippi Longstocking.
Whoa. That's a good pull.
Raggedy Andy, right? Redhead.
Raggedy Ann.
Raggedy Ann and Raggedy Andy, right?
Raggedy Ann was redhead, wasn't she?
Yeah. And then who's the Jessica Chastain? She's a famous redhead. Mm. Lucille Ball. That do anything
yeah,
for you?
Yeah, Lucille Ball. There you go. Conan O'Brien.
Yep. Half the country of Ireland.
Prince Harry.
Prince Harry, a redhead?
Yeah, he's a gingy. Amy Adams.
Oh, there you go.
It is also National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. The Oregon Supreme Court.
It's only
what?
Why does blueberry cheesecake? Is there a strawberry cheesecake
day?
Yeah.
Probably.
No offense to blueberry cheesecake, which is delightful, but strawberry cheesecake, cherry cheesecake, laps, blueberry cheesecake.
I would agree, but this doesn't mean blueberry cheesecake can't have its own day, right?
I understand. I just thought it was odd.
Just some random day in May.
That like the fourth or fifth best cheesecake berry has its own day.
Let's see. The Oregon Supreme Court demanded that Baker County Circuit Court Judge Matthew B. Shirtcliffe explained his ruling, which halted Oregon Governor Kate Brown's safety measures.
Yeah, he's the one that originally shot down the religious ones and then kind of just shoehorned everything else into that decision.
Today, he declined to explain his ruling.
Nay!
He said he stands behind it. So what happens next is that the Oregon Supreme Court will hear more of the case. And after that, they will render a decision on whether to permanently vacate that judge's order. But he said, he's like, no.
Yeah, but for the time being, the governor still is in control and can decide.
Yeah, it's been halted.
Although by the time this all gets sorted out, is it possible that we don't have stay-at-home orders because counties are opening up left and right?
It is possible. It is possible. The state plans to announce soon details on how Oregon schools can open in the fall. So that's exciting.
Yeah. I think there's a ton of parents and even kids. I know my kids at least one of my kids, who's actually going to still be in high school, is having this debate left and right. Like, what does this look like? My son getting ready to go to college. There is so much unknown right now.
Yeah, but I think the movement is that the kids will be back in fall, at least right now.
Sure.
It feels like that. It's just kind of like how sports are trending towards opening.
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of momentum going that way. But again, who knows what a couple months from now is going to look like.
Apple's downtown Portland store reopens tomorrow. Clackamas Town Center is open, sort of.
Kind of, sort of.
Not a lot of businesses are open there, but some are.
Yeah, because they said that retail stores can open.
Yeah.
But if you are in a shopping mall or an outdoor shopping center, you can't unless you are. But then there's restrictions. Like, I bought my washer dryer at Best Buy, but you had to make an appointment, go in the back, and there was a whole thing, and like one guy walked you around. So
okay.
It was open, but it wasn't open.
Was that in the mall? Or just a standalone?
That's the, it's not a standalone. It's in a outdoor shopping center, the Cascade Station by the airport.
Okay.
And so when we asked, why did you have to go in the back? They said that they don't want people seeing you go in the front because then that causes a problem because people are showing up because they heard retail is open and they're trying to get in and they're like, no, you can't come in. But yes, you can. You just have to call and go in the rear.
All right.
It's a whole thing.
Well, Clackamas Town Center is a mall,
yes,
last I checked.
That is an actual mall.
Not certain how that is able to open, but maybe the malls are now under the blanket retail. You can open. You don't have to, but you can.
Clackamas County is...
Clackamas
is now in phase one.
That's right.
So they can now open with certain restrictions and guidelines.
See, you just got to talk through this.
It's like that one lady said, everything is closed unless it isn't. And if it is closed, you can still get in, but there's hoops that have to be jumped through. It's all very, very confusing.
Cannon Beach and Seaside can fully reopen their lodging beginning today. So that's hotels, motels,
Airbnbs,
short-term rentals. That's nice.
Holiday Inns.
Yeah, I watched the news last
night.
Nice,
Mike, nice.
I've been watching more of the local news because I'm trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And
how's that going for you?
It's something.
Impressions?
Well, the Horman thing kind of wrote me in. That's what KGW is running.
Kyron Horman?
Yeah, they're running a 10 years after the fact, and there's a new book, and that case fascinates me. So that kind of...
Still missing.
Yeah, that wrote me in. And yeah, we all know who did it, but no charges. But they had a bunch of people on from the coast, and it's interesting because now everyone wants to go to the coast, and everyone at the coast hates everyone coming to their...
Well, haven't they always hated that out there?
Yeah.
Well, but I think every mayor of like a destination town
like, go away.
Came out the day before Memorial Day weekend and was like, please do not come here if you do not live in this county. Please let us have a couple of weeks to figure this out.
But then all those stores are, those coastal stores, they make all their money like in a 4-month period.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you miss any of that, you're hooped. And just like everything else, there's two sides to the story, and they're conflicting ideals, and it makes this whole thing tough.
There was an 80% spike in COVID cases in Redmond over the weekend.
Yeah, because Central Oregon...
Well, not over the weekend, but last week.
Last week. The Redmond and Bend hadn't really had much of an effect, hadn't been affected by this at all.
Yeah, and so they're saying that that is because of multi-household gatherings.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying caused that. Similar trends of cases associated with attending family and social gatherings in other areas of Deschutes County as well.
But we've seen this across the country as Georgia and Florida and Texas have opened up and Missouri. We've seen spikes. We've seen outbreaks. I think it's just a matter of now of watching the death, you know, death numbers, ICU beds, because the cases are going up. But here in Oregon, we had no new deaths again.
Yeah, Oregon has the fourth lowest per 100,000 resident rate of COVID in the United States. Yeah, Does that make sense?
Yeah, we're doing great.
Fourth lowest per 100,000 residents. The only states lower are Montana, Alaska, and Hawaii. Oregon is fourth lowest, which is really, I think, pretty remarkable considering we're right in the middle of, well, California and Washington.
Yeah.
And it all started in Washington, and a ton of people travel from California to China. So, you know what is also low? The fifth lowest is West Virginia. Does this show what states people visit the least? You know, like, I know a lot of people go to Hawaii,
yeah,
but at the same time, it's way over there. It's a five-hour flight, yeah, at least from here, longer from other parts of the country. You know what I mean? Like, Oregon, yeah, are we underselling how few people actually come here? Even though here in Portland, we're all like, you know, all, yeah, the...
Look, we're not leave, big. We're not Vegas. We're not California. Yeah. We're not Hawaii.
You know what I mean? Like, West Virginia, nobody goes to West Virginia.
No. When's the last time you were, like, getting ready for your big family vacation? You said, okay, kids, country roads.
Right.
Who's up for it?
I mean, I know your brother took his son there one year for a football game.
But that was because he played a video game and Steve Slayton was good.
But Montana, Oregon, Alaska, West Virginia?
I certainly think there's...
You see a theme here?
Exactly. There is certainly an element of people that go there for fly fishing and outdoorsy stuff, but... I'm guessing the tourism rate for those states is really, really low compared to the big ones.
Also, Washington, COVID cases in Washington state have fallen for the eighth straight week. That is the longest streak in the United States.
Yeah.
They also have the biggest drop in cases over that stretch. They are down 50%.
Yeah, we were cruising along, and Clark County had applied for to move on to the next phase, but then we had a situation.
Let's get to that coming up next.
Frozen fruits have done us in.
They are on hold in Clark County. 447 on the fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, in the news, May 26th, 2020. Yeah, Clark County, you guys up there, have had a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, we thought we were cruising along, and then this.
Over 40% of employees at Firestone Pacific Foods have tested positive for coronavirus.
Yeah, they freeze the fruits, if you will.
Yeah, fruit plant, fruit processing facility.
Yeah.
So, 87 employees have tested negative for the virus, and there are still a few of its employees who need to be tested, but 65 of them have tested positive.
And then close contacts, I think we're up to 84 with the contact tracing from this. So not good. I did talk to someone who knows the owner. And the weird thing about this, and this is why it can be so tricky, the vast majority are asymptomatic.
Mm.
They're not sick. They had no idea. There just was a small breakout, and then they tested, and then... You know, they're like, oh, crap, this was everywhere. But this isn't a bunch of people sick or in a hospital. It was people just going about their day to day. And that's why this can be tough.
So they first discovered this on May 17th. And then by that Friday, May 22nd, the number of employees who had tested positive was at 38.
Yeah.
So now it's up to 65. Of course, that has ramifications on the entire county because they, as you said, Clark County applied to enter phase two of the reopening plan. But
which would be like restaurants being able to sit down and, you know, tattoo parlors, hair salons, things like that. But now,
well, I thought restaurants, you could still, it was 25%. And then phase two is 50%.
No, restaurants right now in Clark County, it's still
are they still closed?
It's still closed. You can do takeout, but you can't go in. So this would have allowed restaurants to start bringing people in, but now that's, you know, we've been put on hold.
Yes, the application has been put on hold, so there is no timeline for when Clark County might enter the second phase of reopening. That also limits the reopening of barbershops, salons, and the like. So, yes,
so my hair will not be getting professionally done anytime soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Has anybody gone out and gotten the big haircut yet? Mike, you gotten one?
I'm talking to the wrong guy.
Clearly not. Still very long.
Doesn't look long.
Yeah, so far it's looking okay, but around the ears and like, just, it's not great.
Now I did because I was watching the
Mike's pissed.
The
yeah, I wouldn't say pissed.
Horman, COVID.
The Horman thing on KGW.
Yeah, what are they doing now?
They're doing it's a 10-year. You know, it's been 10 years. They're doing like a just like a special on it, and there's a new book that's being released, and so they were doing this thing.
Ooh, who wrote the book?
I forget the lady's name. But I was it wrote me in, so I was watching it because they were talking about it, and then that kind of got me watching the local news, and they were saying that one of the local barbershops that was allowed to open, and I forget which county in Oregon, he said that on within the first 2 or 3 days, he had 3,800 people call to schedule a hair appointment. And he said that he's got like 7 stylists, and they're booked.
Damn.
Morning to night for like the next, was it 4 to 5 weeks?
Holy crap.
Yeah. So he's like, well, that's like the one thing that people are clamoring for more than anything else is women and men both want the hair done.
Yeah. The book is called Boy Missing.
Yeah.
And it's by Rebecca T. Morris. And I guess it's out now.
Yep.
You can get it on Amazon or RebeccaTMorris.com.
And then KGW is running a... You see it online, or I don't know when it airs, but they're running a special on it.
So this is new.
Yeah, and I was watching
in the book.
It. Yeah, there's more details that we didn't know. I guess they said there's, if I remember correctly, it was 4 or 5 eyewitnesses that say that he left with the stepmother that day at school.
Yeah, she has 3. She has 2 adults and a classmate who saw Kyron leaving Skyline Elementary with his stepmom, Terry Horman, and get into her pickup truck. That's new.
Yeah.
We did not know that.
I hadn't heard that. I guess that she, some of the other stuff that I'm going off the top of my head that I saw in this that I didn't know, she washed his coat and backpack the day before the day that he went missing. So they're saying that's suspicious because who the hell washes coats and backpacks on a regular basis?
Why would she do it the day before?
I think it was the day of. I think it was either the day before or the day of. What was the other one? She had an unexplained gash on her knee that she couldn't explain away. And there was an email that she wrote to a friend saying that she was leaving the husband and taking her infant daughter with her as well.
How did she... Like, is there just not enough evidence? Like, everybody knows that it was her.
Yes.
But...
I guess
how does she dance around that? Like,
They've never found the body and... You know, I guess there's not enough physical evidence tying her to it, but...
And she's now remarried, right?
I'm not certain.
She's been in the news. She's had a couple lawsuits and...
But yeah, it's like everyone...
Oh, she was on Dr. Phil, too. Don't you remember that?
Yeah. Everyone knows that she isn't cooperating. Everyone knows that she's the prime suspect. Yet here we are 10 years later, and how frustrating that must be for that boy's father and anyone else that cares about him.
Well, the mom too.
Yeah.
She's out there. Yeah. She's still fighting the good fight, man. And it's an open case. Like, it is not closed.
Yeah. And they said that the police did not cooperate in this because it's an open investigation.
In the book, you mean?
Yeah. In the book. And they said that they, you know, they have recorded conversations. They put tracers on the family car. I mean, all signs point to her. It's, just got to find something that's concrete enough to charge her.
There's your In the News, May 26, 2020. We've got the Hot 5 at 5, the top 5 sports stories of the day, and there is a lot to get to today, including what all the leagues are thinking about in terms of reopening. The very latest, next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.